a good Saturday afternoon to you. They say the weather is supposed to improve, but as I look out the window here, it looks like the wind has picked up more than it was when I drove in the studio. But oh well, you're here. You're listening to Woods and Water, South Carolina on 94.5 WGTK. My name is Roger Metz, and near in the next hour, we'll be talking about things to do around South Carolina and fishing. South Carolina Department of Natural Resources Kids Fishing Radio and Collegiate Bass Fishing. The numbers here at the station are 235-9405 in the Greenville area and 877-235-9405 if you're somewhere else. And I invite you to call me and talk about the outdoors. Now, like I said, the weather, they say, is going to improve. And I know with spring break last week, it couldn't have been a worse week to have spring break considering the weather the week before and the weather they say we're going to have this week. And that's typical for South Carolina. It's nice when you have to work and the kids are in school. And then it gets cold, windy, and wet the week of spring break. Just to rub it in, next week, if the predictions are right, it's going to be sunny and 70 all week long. And this happens all the time here. So just, hang in there. Summertime's coming. Weather's going to get better. And the outdoors just gets better along with the weather. Although today, like today, is one of my favorite days. Thanks to Gore-Tex and all the numerous manufacturers who make the waterproof clothing and boots and all. Today is one of those days where I'd like to be out just walking in the woods. You stay dry. It's not hot. You can sneak up on things. It's a place I like to be on a day like today. Either there or in front of the fireplace on the couch taking a nap. I had a good time Thursday night at the Fly Fishing Film Tour. It was very good. Some very good film shorts. Made me want to I told my wife when I came home, I said, I think I'm going to quit working and go fly fishing for the rest of my life. I said, that's just what it makes you want to do every year. Of course, I can't do that, but it's a nice thought. If you haven't gone, look into it next year. They'll have all new, and we'll have more tickets here on the air to give away. I tried my hand at crappie fishing this past week, but between the wind and the 7-inch crappie, they went to an 8-inch limit on crappie this year, and I couldn't catch one over 7 inches. Every one I caught was 7 inches, 6 inches. I don't know if I was fishing too shallow, too deep, whether the big ones weren't in yet. But I lost a couple of good fish. I don't know. I'm just not adjusting well to minnows and bobbers. Just rusty. Just rusty. That'll get better. I'll give it another shot here in the next week or so. Maybe I'll have more luck. Hope you've been able to get out. They say when the dogwoods bloom, the crappie won't be far behind. Dogwoods are blooming right now, so we'll see if that holds true this year. If you have an event that you want me to talk about on the air, please send me a message through Facebook. I'll be glad to include it. I know there's some local things going on, and I'll try to hit on those today. But let's get right to it. Next weekend in Charleston, April 25th through the 27th, the Charleston In-Water Boat Show. Now, like I said, the weather is supposed to be very, very nice, at least forecasted. And this is going to be held at Brittlebank Park, the Bristol Marina. That's just north of the 17 Bridge across the Ashley River, on the west side of the peninsula. The hours, noon to 7 on Friday, 10 to 7 Saturday, 11 to 5 on Sunday. Tickets, $10, $5. Children under 3 are free. It's a really neat little thing to go to. I guess it makes you really want to buy a boat when you're standing in it. It's kind of rocking in the water. Of course, my wife wouldn't like that, but I do. If you're going to be in Charleston, why don't you try to stop by and check it out? They usually have very good prices, dealer rebates, that sort of thing, like any other boat show. But if you're going to be in Charleston, that area, something you might want to work into, the kids would love it. Greer Family Fest. Can you believe this is the 19th, well, maybe older than that. I know the fishing tournament is 19 years old. But Greer Family Fest, I guess my hometown for the last 30 some odd years, is happening May 2nd, May 3rd this year. It actually has right here the 30th anniversary of the event. I only know about it because of the fishing part of it. And that ties it into the outdoors, so we can talk about the Greer Family Fest. Lots of good things going on. The fishing tournament, I'm sorry if I'm a little bit late with this. There's a $35 late fee if you enter after April the 11th. Sorry I didn't see this earlier. Of course, it's held in downtown Greer. This is the Greer Chambers event. Wow. rides, Ferris wheel, scat, loop a plane, spinner, swing, kids Ferris wheel, carousel, ladybug, all sorts of things going on for the kids zone rides. The place that I like the best out there is the Creation Station. And let me tell you just a little story. This probably would have been 2004 or five. My youngest would have been 4 or 5 years old. We were there. And there's so many people, and you try to keep up with your kids. And I turned around, and Taylor was nowhere to be found. And I thought she was with my mother-in-law, but she wasn't there. I thought she might have been with my wife. She wasn't there. I checked my sister-in-law. She wasn't there. And I tell you, I aged about 5 years and 5 minutes. But she had gone back to the Creation Zone. She liked what she was doing over there better than what we were doing. So she just walked herself right down there, and we found her down there, thank goodness. But goodness gracious, that would scare me to death. So keep up with your kids. Those people out there are nice. I'm sure if we would have put the word out she was lost, somebody would have recognized a little blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl and said, your parents are looking for you. But just in a festival atmosphere like this, make sure you keep up your kids. But that's my memory of Greer Family Fest. It's gotten better over the years, but boy, I tell you, that was a scary thing. But they've got animal balloons, bead jewelry, bubble mix, face and hand painting. One of my favorite things was the splat painting with the nylon sock. You know, get you a nylon sock, pull it full of paint, and you just drop it on the page. That's my kind of art. No rhyme or reason to it. Just let it do what it wants to do. The Greenville Road Warriors will be there, the mascot, and lots of music on the stage. And when I was looking through this, I saw that the Marshall Tucker Band is going to be there from 7:30 to 10. That's Spartanburg's own Marshall Tucker Band. I didn't know those guys were still around. But it's a good thing to go to. I know there's going to be lots of people out there, lots of involvement. Try to go there, do it. If you want to go fish the tournament, it's happening the same day. Hog on the Hill Barbecue Cook-Off in Chester, South Carolina. That's my hometown. When you get a chance to talk about a little spot like Chester, you do it. May 2nd through the 3rd. I'll talk a little bit more about it in conjunction with something else that's going on in that area the same day. But it's a barbecue festival on the hill. If you've never been through Chester, Main Street is right up on top of a hill. They rope it off, and they have a really good time with kids rides, music, cars, horse and buggy rides. It's free. And like I said, there's some other things going on that you could tie in barbecue with the fishing rodeo and maybe a trip to historic Brattonsville, all in the same area, all in the same weekend. Totally Turtles. If you're going to be in Myrtle Beach, and there again, May 2nd and 3rd are just crammed full of things to do. If you're going to be at Myrtle Beach State Park, they're going to have a session there on the state reptile, the loggerhead sea turtle. You're going to crawl through a shrimp net, dig a nest, create a turtle craft, everything to do with our loggerhead sea turtle, the state turtle. That's May 3rd. There is no registration. It's free with park admission. I think park admission is like $3 or $4, but I'll put this up on the Facebook page and you can check into it. The Palmetto Camp Out, Huntington Beach State Park, May 17th and 18th. If you want to do this, you have to register by May the 9th. It's a camp out, family-style camp out. They're going to teach you how to throw a cast net, pull a seine, how to rig a crabbing line, paddle a kayak. It's a stay overnight, teach you how to camp, how to cook, that sort of thing. If you've ever wanted to get into camping, if you need camping gear, there's a store in Traveler's Rest that will rent you the camping gear. They have a limited supply of tents down there, but you're going to need more than the tents. Families that were chosen will get a list of things they need to bring, and that's at Huntington Beach State Park, May 17th and 18th. Sunrise Hiking Series is back again, May 17th, Bald Knob, Pinnacle Mountain. That's you leave from Table Rock State Park. And I love this line. Sleep is overrated, and the early bird gets the trail mix. I like the first part, the trail mix I can do without. I've had so much trail mix in my life, I've got to find something else to eat while I'm hiking. It's $25 a hiker, 2:45 a.m. in the morning, and you'll be up there to watch the sun come up from the top of Table Rock. Uh-oh. And the last one for this week, again in Sherrall State Park, it's time for their next Moonlight Canoe Trip, May 17th. You can contact $15 a person, bring your own, or rent one of them. Here's the music, break time, I'll see you on the other side. and welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. The numbers here at the station are 235-9405 or 877-235-9405. I will again this week be adding the calendar of events to the Facebook page, and you can find that, of course, at Woods and Water SC or www.facebook.com/Woods and Water SC. Log on and give the show a like. One thing you never want to happen is for your vehicle to strand you on the side of the road. Whether you're pulling a boat, your camper, or just in the mountains for a ride with your family. And that's where I have to put in a word for Blue Ridge Automotive. They're a full-service auto and truck repair shop. From preventative maintenance to air conditioning service, brakes, or complete overhauls, this NAPA-certified shop can do it all. They also have a complete diesel repair shop for Chevy, Dodge, and Ford light trucks. They're located at 1775 Locust Hill Road. That's Highway 290 north of Greer, for those of you who know the road better by that name. And you can call them at 895-1405. Now, I mentioned a little bit earlier about the Hog on the Hill and the Draper Youth Fishing Rodeo. And on the phone with us right now, we have Ken Fleming. Ken, are you there?
Oh. Can you hear me right?
Yeah, I can hear you, Kenneth. How are you today?
Doing good.
Good. For those of you who are not listening on the first program, the man on the air right now is the man that introduced me to hunting. And I really appreciate that, Ken. Always have.
And I appreciate your efforts in the outdoor conservation.
Well, we've walked a lot of miles together, all of them good, and we'll walk some more one of these days soon. But tell us, you have a youth fishing rodeo coming up Saturday, May 3rd. Tell us about it.
That's right, Roger. In York County, we have the Draper Fishing Rodeo coming up May 3rd, starts at 8 o'clock in the morning, runs about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It's held at the Draper Wildlife Area Management right outside historic Brattonsville in York County. That's 1080 Draper Road, McConnell, 29726, for those that might want to plug it into GPS, and I'll give you that again a little bit later.
Okay.
But it's, like I said, it's for kids 15 and under, and the bait's provided. We have some tackle available, but you know, if you get your special rod and reel, bring it with you. Don't bring your pet, please. You know, they get tangled up in our fishing lines and stuff. So this is a day just for the kids.
Okay.
And we'll have volunteers there. You know, we'll have bobbers and hooks and stringers and such as that to, you know, help with this stuff. But, you know, you might want to bring a 5-gallon bucket to sit on and help tote your fish home, because you do get to keep your fish. You know, there's no limit on the fish this day. We're going to be putting 3,500 pounds of blue hatchery-raised catfish in two of the three ponds here on site.
Okay.
And you get to keep what you catch. And
do you teach them how to clean it when they take it home?
Yeah, we'll talk to you about how to clean them.
Okay.
And, but, you know, That's your responsibility to take them with you after you catch them. And, you know, there's been no adult fishing. It'll just be the kids.
Okay.
You know, a fun day for the kids. We're going to give away some really nice prizes for the biggest fish and the tag fish. And, the grand prize will be for a lifetime hunting and fishing license.
Wow. You
know, that in itself is about a $500 value for, you know, the average age kids.
I was just fixing to say, that's pretty good. For the rest of their life, they don't have to buy a fishing license.
Yeah, it sure is. I tell you, we've had some real good winners in the past, and, you know, I still see them come out and utilize the facilities and stuff, and it really makes you feel good about it. And like I said, these are hatchery-raised fish. We're going, you know, fisheries will be bringing them in and stocking them in two of our ponds, and they're handicap accessible ponds. We've got a new handicap ramp on one pond.
Okay.
Thanks to the local fisheries personnel.
Okay.
They just finished it up. And, you know, we'll have volunteers on hand to help the kids bait the hooks and get the fish off. And fisheries are going to be there weighing the fish and helping us with the prizes. And, we got five sponsors this year. Of course, South Carolina DNR.
Okay.
Then we have the York County Sportsman's Coalition, the York County Legislative Delegation, Selfness, the local chapter of Wild Turkey Federation, and the local chapter of DU, the Green Wings, are going to be providing lunch and fixing lunch for us. So, you know, you can't have these type of events without sponsors and people in the background helping.
And you are in the background as well, aren't you?
Yeah. All the wildlife fishery personnel will be there in the background helping move people around and do, you know, the logistics of the stuff.
Okay.
But like I said, you know, it's right outside historic Brattonsville here in McConnell's at 1080 Draper Road, 29726, if you want to plug it into a GPS, or if you need to call for pre-registration. Pre-registration is not required, but, you know, it speeds things up a little bit. You can call 803-737-8483, 803-737-8483, and they can pre-register you, and that'll save a few minutes when you get there. But don't let that hold you up. If you don't get pre-registered, come on out.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it, Kenneth. Tell us what your position with the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources is so people will know.
I'm a wildlife technician. I do the plowing, planting, posting of the public land, planting the public dove fields, the game plots, food plots and stuff on the public land in York and Chester County.
Okay.
And then fisheries is in a separate unit. They take care of the lakes, the water, you know, public waterways and stuff. And, you know, we work in coordination on this event. And, of course, you got the law enforcement officers that are out there, you know, helping every day with the law enforcement.
Okay. And Kenneth and I, we were heavily involved in Quail Unlimited back in 94 when York County purchased Draper. And it has come a long way from what it was then, hasn't it?
It sure has. You know, I hate to say that we don't have the birds that we had back then, but it still looks like you're going to find birds. It's just a good place to come look.
It is.
And exercise your dogs and stuff.
It is. And you also, right there at Draper, you have a dove field that's a draw hunt.
Yep.
We have a separate kids dove field there at the same facility, right?
We always have a youth hunt. Opening day is a youth hunt, and we have it designated for, like, you know, 35, 40 different stands for safety, and always have a really good youth hunt out there.
And they have a good dove field. I got drawn for it 2 years ago, I believe, and I was late getting on the field and kind of was off to the side and still had just a terrific dove hunt. And you do a great job there. I've also hunted Worth Mountain, which is another one of your dove fields, and always had a great hunt up there. One of these days I'm going to get over to Worth Mountain and walk around and see if I can't find a deer. I've floated the Broad River past Worth Mountain, and that day, who was there at the landing waiting on us but you? And we appreciate you pulling those kayaks up the bank for us.
That's right. That was a warm day.
Right now we're
having some rainy days. We're having trouble getting our dove fields planted.
Okay.
But, you know, the sun's going to come out, and we'll get them all planted, and we'll have about 30 to 45 acres of sunflowers on each side. They always bloom around the 4th of July, and we have a lot of people like to come out and take pictures and stuff of sunflowers.
And that's the beauty of having a property like Draper. You've got the fishing you can come take advantage of, the hunting you can come take advantage of, the photography part of, if you like that. It's one of those places that's there for the residents and non-residents of South Carolina to go enjoy.
It is. A multi-use area, you know, it really is a benefit to the public.
Well, I appreciate you calling in, Kenneth. You take care. And my plan is right now I'm going to try to come over to the farm Thursday or Friday. I've got some wood I need to splint, and I'm going to try to be there at least for part of the fishing rodeo to get some pictures and come back here and talk about it a little more.
We look forward to seeing you.
Thank you, sir. You have a good one.
Bye now.
Okay. Like I said, and I got a little choked up, I apologize for that, but Kenneth was our neighbor growing up who kind of took my brother and I under his wing. He's a little bit older, and let us go with him as he went hunting, whether it was dove hunting. I grew up bird hunting with Kenneth, and birds back in those days meant quail. And at that time, the first time, he had a pointer named Lou. We hunted behind Brittany's and setters and pointers and all, and he's just a really great guy. And like I said, the hunting part of my life I owe to Kenneth for tolerating a 5, 6, 7 year old kid. The fishing part comes from my granddaddy Metz, and through it all, my dad made it possible. He allowed me to go with Kenneth, you know, and he bought me a fishing rod here and a shotgun when I was ready. So my dad enabled us. My granddaddy taught me how to fish, and Kenneth taught me all about hunting and conservation. He's been with the Department of Natural Resources, and he was a mentor to me. So in connection with the fishing rodeo, he mentioned historic Brattonsville. You know, Brattonsville's historical. They've got the houses there. It's the history of the Scots, Irish, and South Carolina upcountry. It's 30 historical structures from the 1760s to the late 19th century. They have, during the year, they have numerous activities such as the Children's Day on the farm in March, the Battle of Huck's Defeat in July, which was a Revolutionary War battle, By the Sweat of Our Brows in September, and I understand I haven't been to that one, but that's, you know, farm life, you know, harvesting your crops, getting ready for winter. The Piedmont Pottery Festival is also in September. The Civil War reenactment, I've been to that. That's in October. Beautiful time of the year to be outside. They have the camp set up. You can go around and watch them as they go about their daily life and chores and that sort of thing. And the really cool thing about it is they always have the battle there. And in that battle is an original Confederate cannon that was found there in Chester County, I forget how many years, 15 years or so now. One of those cannons, I believe, is sitting at the top of the hill in Chester. One of them is at the State Museum. I don't know where the other one, but one of those cannons has been redone, and it participates in the Civil War, the Civil War reenactment in October. And because it's an original Confederate cannon, it can only be on the Confederate side of the battle. Other cannons can flip sides depending on how many people show up with their cannons, but that cannon always has to be a Confederate one. And that's a really neat experience. All the black powder going off, the men marching, falling over, playing dead. It's a really good family thing. There's food there. There's interpretive. There's story times. We appreciate Ken calling in. Go fishing. Go to historic Brattonsville. And don't forget the barbecue on the hill in Chester. See you on the other side of the break. And welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. When I was talking to Kenneth there a few minutes ago, you know, he was just a neighbor who took a couple of boys that lived next door and introduced them to hunting and fish, hunting and conservation, that sort of thing. And I wanted to touch just briefly on Take One, Make One. Take One, Make One is the Department of Natural Resources program that's designed to, it's an outreach program, to assist families, single parent families, and others by allowing their children to experience outdoor hunting activities in a controlled, supervised environment. The program is specifically targeted students age 10 through 18 who have no experience shooting or hunting. Take One, Make One provides a specific mechanism for students to learn about safe, ethical hunting, conservation, and responsible use of our natural resources. The kids are paired with volunteer hunt club members, private landowners who sponsor and actively participate in a year-round hunting and shooting sports mentorship program. If you are out there listening and you have the experience hunting, or you're new to the sport and need somebody to help you learn how to hunt, check out the DNR Take One, Make One program. Also, there's the DNR Wildlife Management Areas. There are the draw hunts. I mentioned the Draper Dove Hunt every year. They have, it's a draw for the first opening season. They have the youth field. They have the adult field. And sometimes the two look similar because there's so many kids out there with parents hunting on the adult field. And there's so many kids hunting with parents in tag on the youth field. It's just it's a great thing. In South Carolina, hunting and fishing are fundamental parts of our great outdoor heritage, a legacy that's we've got to pass on from one generation to the next. If you're interested in becoming a mentor, check into the Take One, Make One program. You can reach them at 1-800-277-4301 or on the web at www.dnr.sc.gov. Click on Education, Hunting, and Special Programs. The application, it's a little intrusive, but you want it to be. And mainly what it is, you know, you're going to release and discharge South Carolina DNR. You're not going to sue them. You understand that risks are involved in the activities of hunting, that sort of thing. And then it just wants your information. Kenneth was doing Take One, Make One before it was popular. And you can do the same thing with fishing. You know, those of us that go and do all this stuff, we see kids who would probably like to go, neighbors' kids or people we go to church with or something who they don't necessarily like to hunt and fish, but the kid might. You know, go out on a limb. Take some initiative. Find out if it's for you and invest in the next generation. I guess that's what I really am trying to get across here. Really with the whole show is get these kids out. It takes a whole lot more effort from when we were growing up and your mom kicked you out the door and said, don't come back till supper time. It takes more effort to do it. And those of us that have the experience hunting, fishing, hiking, camping, it's up to us to get out of our safe zone and take these kids with us. A little bit of news. Pope and Young Club announces their continued support for NASP. That's the National Archery in Schools program. And of course, Pope and Young is the record book club for archery trophies. They have been supporters since 2002. And what a better sponsor or supporter than Pope and Young for the NASP program. We are going to have an update next week on the local club, the Upstate Hurricanes, some exciting news there. I was going to have Colleen on the show with me today, but two of her kids came down sick. Colleen, if you're listening, I hope your kids are better soon, and we'll talk with you next week. And I wanted to talk a little bit today about collegiate bass fishing. And we have two local teams. There's one from, well, actually there's 160 something teams. I looked it up on the internet last night. There's a team in Clemson, of course. And then there's the University of South Carolina Anglers. I did a little bit of research. I was hoping to have the president on the line with me, on the air with me today, but he hasn't called in yet. So I'll do my best to carry on without him. Anglers at USC began its venture in the spring semester of 2009, so it's just a little over 4 years old. Started by Stephen Britt. He was a junior. And when I was talking to Geddes Brannon, both at the Palmetto Sportsman Classic and then on the phone this week, it's a South Carolina program, but they don't get any of their support from the University of South Carolina. It's not that relationship. The university allows them to have the club. In fact, Anglers at USC is named that way because of university regulations. They fish a regular circuit against other college teams. I know at this point the Louisiana Monroe team is first in this nation. They, you know, they travel to these tournaments. They have expenses. They have corporate sponsors. And when I was talking to Geddes, he was talking about He's a journalism major, and he says, you know, I just enjoy fishing. And so when the club came along, I said, well, I'm going to join the club, and But he was telling me that his journalism major was what he was going to practice. But on the side with the club, he had gotten into marketing, having to go out and get sponsors and that sort of thing. He said, and it was interesting to watch and learn how fishing and the professional world interacted. And he doesn't have any plans to go on after college and be a professional fisherman. But he said it was just something that while I'm in college, he said it was a great experience for me. I'm learning how to interact with businesses while I'm still in school, and hopefully that will help me as I go into the business world after graduation. Again, they were started in 2009. This year, they're having their second annual. Like I said, and these guys don't get paid to do this, so they have to go out and raise their support. They're having their second annual fundraising tournament, and it's going to be next Saturday, April 26th, at the Lake Wylie Buster Boyd Landing. It's safe light to 3 p.m. It's $120 per boat. There's an optional $20 big fish, 90% payback. The club keeps 10%. Department of Natural Resources, rules and regulations apply. And you can get the registration forms at anglers@USC. Google it. It will come up and you can get it. It's a good – and when I was talking to these – I won't call them kids because my wife said they're not kids. These young men – at the table and then on the phone, you know, it was yes, sir, no, sir. It was very, they were very nice young men to talk to. And that's just in today's day, when you run across those guys, it's refreshing. I want to know if anybody out there has been turkey hunting. And that's a leading question because I know there's a young man out there, friend of the family's, who has actually killed a turkey. And he's afraid to call me and tell me about it because he's afraid I'm going to give him a hard time. But it's okay. I'm not going to give you a hard time. But if any of the other people have been out there turkey hunting, I know I haven't gotten out yet. Still planning on trying it. Give me a call. Let me know. I've heard a lot of people say that the turkeys have not been cooperative this year. They're not. The weather has been very messed up, and I can believe it. Because it's messed up everything else. But yesterday afternoon, I was in my office, and my office is downstairs in my home, and I have a Labrador Retriever, Sophie. And she usually lets me know when somebody's coming in the back driveway or if there's a bird on the back porch because I have the bird feeders and all up. And she just went nuts, absolutely nuts. And I was like, okay, who is coming in the driveway? And as I kind of moved around in my office chair, I looked out the door, and there's my turkey. Last year, about this time, I had the hen turkey show up, and she would come eat all the spilled leftover food out from under the feeders on the back porch, and I hadn't seen her since last year, but she's back, and she's eating the food again. I don't know. She's nesting somewhere right there behind the thing. But Sophie was just going nuts yesterday afternoon, and now for the next month or so, I have to put up with her going through her thing. It's bad enough when the squirrels are down there, but when the turkey shows up, she really wants to get outside. And we have Geddes on the line. Geddes, are you there?
It's the night tournament last night on Lake Wylie.
Geddes?
Yes, sir.
How are you?
I am doing all right. I was actually kind of talking to the recording, I believe. But sorry about the wait. I was up all night at Lake Wylie fishing the night tournament. Kind of got back probably about 6 o'clock this morning. Decided to sleep for a while and figured I'd wake up before now. But you know how that goes.
I know how that goes. Well, yes, look, sir. I am right up against a break. Can you hold through the break?
That won't be a problem.
Okay, we got about less than a minute or so, and we'll start. And then we'll carry on. If you'll hold on through the break, we'll catch up on the other side.
All right. Sounds good.
Okay. So my turkey's back. Be interesting to see how long she stays around this year. We'll talk to Geddes on the other side. Back at Woods and Water, South Carolina, and at the moment we are talking to Geddes Brannon, from the anglers at USC Fishing Club. Geddes, are you still there?
Yes, sir.
So you were up all night fishing, huh?
Oh, yeah. Had the rain and everything else coming out. It was an interesting night.
I bet it was. This was a catfish tournament?
No, it was a bass fishing tournament.
Oh, bass fishing tournament. I thought the other day we said it was a catfish tournament.
No, sir.
Well, let's put it this way. I'm not a professor. This is not a class, so there's no penalty. How's that?
All right. Sounds good. Okay. I'm glad to hear that.
Well, tell us what collegiate bass fishing is all about.
I believe college bass fishing is kind of about building a gap between the baby boomer generation type of bass fishermen we've had coming through, and then there was kind of a gap.
Okay.
Where there wasn't much participation, and I think since college bass fishing's picked up, it's actually one of the fastest growing sports in college, along with college lacrosse, and now they're having high school clubs that are picking up all across the nation as well. So what we're able to do is kind of build a structure for bass fishing, that is kind of, growing each year, like I said, and you know, we have every tournament that, that we go to, I think the first one we went to, there was like 80-something boats, and the last one we went to that was hosted by BSS was the largest one ever, and they had over 150 boats, and that's from schools all across the nation. So there's definitely a lot of growth in college bass fishing, and I think that we're able to get the younger generation in there. I mean, just like, you know, high school football players, you know, look up to the college football players. College football players kind of try to go to pros or whatever. You know, it's that type of structure. And with bass fishing, you have sponsors and you have, you know, the different products that you use. So if you go out there with a ducket rod and a loose reel, the guys that are younger than you and see you on ESPNU or NBC Sports or whatever media outlet that the tournament's on, you know, they'll go pick up those rod and reels. So it really develops a good business structure as well and helps out the younger generation in getting into bass fishing.
It is a great thing to be involved in. Now, you're a journalism major.
Yes, sir.
And when we talked, you said you really don't have any plans to go professional after school. Are any of your teammates considering going professional bass fishing after school?
I believe so. We got a couple guys on the team that are doing very well. And the thing is about bass fishing and it's the opportunities to go professional are there. Even through the college series and that's neat as well is, BASS actually offers a way, to qualify for the Bassmaster Classic, which next year is going to be on Lake Hartwell.
That's right.
So that would be neat if, we were able to qualify for that.
It would be.
That wild card, the wild card event, that we would qualify through is going to be on Pickwick Lake, June, I think 27th through 28th. And, then you go to like a playoff type format, where you fish against everyone individually, from the national championship, which the national championship hasn't been announced yet.
Okay.
And the Forestwood Cup is on Murray this summer, so we missed the opportunity to qualify for that this year, but in this year's FLW College Series, we're able to qualify for the 2016 Forestwood Cup.
Great. Well, how many guys are on the team?
We have about 20. We probably have about 10 that go to the tournaments. Unfortunately, we're not able to provide a boat, so if you don't have a boat, it's kind of hard to get out there.
Oh, it is.
So, you know, other than that, they're still eligible for all of the club sponsorships and discounts and whatnot. But sometimes it's just hard to get everybody out on the water when we may have a total of 5 or 6 boats combined throughout the team.
Now, your boats, those are owned by team, the individual guys, they borrowed boats, or how do you go about it?
Yes, sir. We have, a few of us have our own boats, and that's just the way, and then we just pick our partner or whatever. And we do have qualifying tournaments, and we had one on Murray back in, November, I believe. And the way we did it was, all right, you go out there and you fish against the other guys on the team, and you choose your teammate. So you get out there and fish against the other guys on the team. And whatever order you came in was the way we chose which FLW tournaments we were going to, because in FLW, you can only send one boat, where in BSS you can send multiple boats.
Okay.
But then you kind of chose in which order. So we'll be going to Gunnersville second weekend of May, I believe. And there was also one on Clarksville, which isn't too far away, probably a month ago. And then the first one was on Lake Seminole.
Now, how far do y'all travel?
We traveled all the way down to Lake Okeechobee, which took us about 12 hours with traffic and everything on 95 back in the 1st of January. Stayed down there for about a week and a half, 2 weeks. And then we'll be going up to Pickwick Lake, which is probably about 9 hours away.
Okay.
So we travel pretty far. And pulling the boat makes it a little bit further.
Of course it does. I have one, and it makes everything about a half again as long.
That's right.
And last 2 years ago, I pulled mine to Gulf Shores, Alabama, and there was a thunderstorm rolling in, and as I turned off the road, the wheel comes off the rim, and it's being held on by the king nut because my bearings burned out. So, yeah, towing a boat always complicates things.
Yes, sir.
Now, the university doesn't support you, so you go out and get all – you have the fundraising, you have the sponsors and all. Mm-hmm. Who are some of the sponsors for the anglers at USC?
Well, we have Local Boy Outfitters, which is a outfitting company out of Columbia. They're fairly new. They have a lot of good apparel.
Okay.
It's just kind of South Carolina-based. We also have Hunt Fish and Paddle of Lake Wylie, South Carolina. It is a new tackle shop that specializes in hunting, fishing, and kayaks. And does a lot of kayak fishing. They had a big kayak tournament a few weeks ago that I believe paid out close to $20,000.
Wow.
So, that was really neat. We're also sponsored by Lou's, Duckett, Amphibia Eyewear, Navionics, AFCO, Greenfish Tackle, Lowrance, Tupperway Automotive, which is located in Somerville.
Okay.
Gambler, Bates, Ima, Optimum, and Trey. Navionics.
Okay. Well, any businessman listening in the Greenville area who is a South Carolina Gamecock fan and wants to sponsor the USC Anglers fishing team, they need to call you, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, tell us about your...
For sure.
Tell us about your tournament coming up next Saturday.
All right. Next Saturday, we're going to be on Lake Wylie at Buster Boy Lennon. Safe flight until 3 p.m. And we're actually going to have pre-registration on Friday night beginning at 5 at Hunt Fish and Paddle. The entry fee is going to be $120. This is our second annual Anglers at USC Bass Open. Last year we were able to pay out a little bit over $2,000 for first place and paid out 13 spots.
Right.
This year we are looking at paying 1 in 6 boats again and hoping to have a good turnout. It's a 90% payback, 10% goes back to the club, and that's about it.
Well, I appreciate you calling me. I appreciate you giving us all the information, and as we talked about the other day, I'd love to get on the back of the boat with one of you guys one day.
Oh, yeah.
It has been years since I've been in a bass boat. You know, we used to go around chasing the bass championships. We'd get out there in the lake with the other 100 boats and all. And I got out of that into saltwater fishing. I really miss, now that talking to you and all, I remember bass fishing and night fishing and all that. I'm thinking, God, it'd be really nice. And my wife's at home going, no more boats. So
boat stands for break out another 1,000.
And depending on how big the boat is, you could put a 10 in front of that.
Yeah.
But, look, I really want to get to know you guys a little more. I'd love to go fishing with you. So we'll
touch base.
And
I appreciate y'all's support. And like I said, sorry about the delay.
Not
going to do things to you.
Not a problem. I understand totally. You have a good one. Call
and
touch base with you next week and let me know how the tournament goes.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I'm happy Easter to all.
Okay. Thanks, Geddes.
Thank you.
All righty. Like I said, just a really good young man. In fact, several of the ones I talked to at the Classic were all just like that. Just good, energetic. And when you're young, you can be energetic. I look forward to seeing more of that, and I think we'll adopt Angler to USC here on Woods and Water and kind of keep you posted on how they do and help with their fundraisers as we can. Couple of things here towards the end. We're getting close. DNR offers guidelines for dealing with bears, and I thought this was appropriate. It's warm weather. They're starting to move around a lot more, and I had a client in the office the other day who lives in Cleveland, South Carolina, and like most people, he has the little game cams out in his backyard, and he's got deer and turkeys and bears, and he said, and they're regularly there. He has beehives. He said, I do have the fences up and all, and so far they've left them alone. And I was amazed to hear that they're so regular up there, but you know, it's getting close to the mountains anyway, so I'm sure they have it. But bears have been spotted in 45 or 46 counties. If you live in Bamberg County, you have no confirmed sightings. Be aware of them. No, don't feed them. Keep your garbage covered in that sort of thing you live. Pet food storage. Clean your grill. They love bird feeders and beehives. So just be aware of that and watch out for the bears. I went through something last week kind of quickly. My wife wanted me to do this again. It's 40 things, ways you know you're from South Carolina. Eating boiled peanuts is an art and no tailgate's complete. Barbecue is mustard based, the end. Thanksgiving dressing is cornbread based, the end. Crabbing is a sport. Oyster roasts are obvious ways to celebrate. I got through some of those. Towards the end of here, it's cook or clean. Pick one, because when it comes to supper, you're doing the other one. You say supper. You're overly proud of your South Carolina license plate, although you really miss the green and blue ones. Rest in peace. A pine cone has caused you one or more physical injuries. Seems like about every week or so I have to dig pine cone things out of my daughter's hand because she's been running around with the dog outside and has fallen on a pine cone. There's the music. I enjoyed being here. I hope you did too. Have a wonderful Easter Sunday. Tune in again next Saturday. We'll talk Kobe and Waddell Mariculture Center in Bluffton. Find some time to get outside. Take the back roads. Be careful. And don't forget the camera. See you next week. Gone, cat.